wind. Chance of precipitation is 70%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. Okay, let me just move on. That was for a little bit earlier. Tomorrow, a chance of showers after 11 a.m. Partly sunny with a high near 43. Chance of precipitation is 40%. Tuesday night, a chance of rain showers before 1 a.m. Then a chance of rain and snow showers between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. Then a chance of snow showers after 4 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 30. The chance of precipitation is 40%. Wednesday, a chance of snow showers. Partly sunny with a high near 40. Chance of precipitation is 40%. Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. This is Tracy Ivey and Larry Cartwright, the host, is off today. This is NAMI's hour. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is a NAMI chapter in every county in New Jersey and one in every state in the Union. At NAMI in Hunterdon, we're all volunteers, and we man a phone that you can reach. We offer a 12-week family-to-family course for loved ones of people with suffering from mental illness. The number to call for NAMI services in Hunterdon is 908-234-0500. Today, we are very pleased to have as our guest Sue Henderson-Tepper, a licensed clinical social worker who is the clinical supervisor for Somerset and Hunterdon counties for the SPIRIT program and the FSO programs. Sue, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Sue, I would like to start out with the SPIRIT program. Could you tell me what it stands for?
Sure. The SPIRIT program stands for Supportive Partners in Recovery and in Treatment. It's a program right now that we run both in Hunterdon and Somerset County. In Hunterdon County, we serve adults 18 years of age or older, and they must be residents of Hunterdon County.
Okay. And now you say that the program is voluntary. What does that mean exactly?
That means that the clients choose to participate. No one forces them or says that they have to be here. They can choose to come into our program, and they can choose to attend, quite frankly. We don't force anybody to participate. The criteria for the program, however, is that their mental health must be the primary diagnosis. So if someone has what we call a co-occurring disorder, which is maybe they have some substance abuse or a mental health diagnosis, the mental health diagnosis has to be the first issue. And they have to have symptoms that are severe enough to affect one or two more areas of their life. For instance, if they're not able to work or they're struggling with what we call ADLs, which are your daily living activities. Most of our referrals will come out of hospitals, so a lot of our clients are coming out of some type of an inpatient treatment facility, and then they're referred over to our program.
So you were telling me before that your program is a cross between inpatient and once-a-week therapy. Is that correct?
Well, it's a cross between intensive, what we call intensive outpatient or IOP.
Okay.
Intensive outpatient primarily is a program that runs between about 5 hours a day for maybe either 3 days a week or 5 days a week. Our program, we run 5 days a week, but we only hold groups for 90 minutes a day, and then the clients are also have once-a-week individual therapy sessions. And we also have case management as well.
So how often does someone come to this five-day-a-week program?
So it depends on their needs. We try to customize the program to each client. We run groups every day. Our groups consist of what they call life skills, which is kind of communication, relationships, kind of dealing with other people. We run managing emotions, creative expressions, and then a program called IMR Wrap. And then we also have a graduate group. But our clients normally come in for the first session and do the IMR Wrap group, and also the life skills. And then once they complete those, we may move them over to creative expression and managing emotions. If someone needs more than 3 days a week in the program, we could have them come 5 days. We could have them come 4 days. We could have them come 2 days. It depends on what their needs are. Okay. We really try to cater the program to the client's needs.
Okay. Would you tell me a little bit more about IMR Wrap? What is that?
Sure. So IMR Wrap is what kind of makes the Spirit program special. IMR stands for, it's a psychoeducational curriculum, and it helps clients to get a better understanding of what the different mental health diagnoses are and how to live with their diagnosis, building better supports, the effects of medication, why medication may be important, and how to effectively deal with their symptom. That's one part of the program, and it is a structured curriculum. And then the other part is what we call WRAP, and that's stands for a Wellness Recovery Action Plan. And each, again, it's customized to each client, and it gives clients a better awareness and control of their symptoms so they can manage any crisis that may occur because of their mental health. So, for instance, sometimes clients may have a lot of stress, and the stress may cause their symptoms to increase. It's helping clients to be able to identify what those stresses are or triggers, and then helping them to come up with a plan to reduce them so it doesn't then and then back up in the hospital.
So let me see if I understand. The IMR Wrap, is that sort of an umbrella that covers everything you do, or is that something that you do individually with each person in the beginning? Or
it is done in a group setting.
Okay.
And it is usually, I want to say it's a 12-week program, and each client needs to go through that program. So it's a part of the entire treatment that we do. If a client is not able to do the groups, it can be done individually as well.
I see. So when you say 12 week, do you mean once a week for 12 weeks or what?
Yes. It is. The group runs once a week for 90 minutes. And there's one part of it that's the IMR and the other part of it that is the WRAP. And again, the WRAP is something the clients get a booklet that they keep with them. And it helps, gives them the coping skills that they have to deal with their symptoms. It reminds them of their supports. It reminds them of what they can do if they're struggling. And that stays with them throughout the whole program. And even in individual therapy, we, you know, can remind them, okay, you know, what coping skills are you using this week? What supports do you have in place? What are you going to do if, you know, someone triggers you?
Mm-hmm. So since it's a 12-week program, if someone's just coming out of the hospital and the program is on its sixth week, how does that work?
The only thing that is a structured curriculum would be the WRAP. So if someone comes out and they're in the WRAP portion, they will be put in other groups until the WRAP opens up again.
Okay.
So this is just a piece of it. This is just one of the groups. So, for instance, if someone comes out of the hospital and they come in our program and we're in the WRAP, so it's the group will be closed, we'll put them in life skills and maybe creative expressions. They're still getting a minimum of two groups a week, and they're still getting individual therapy and the case management. We also offer intensive case management.
Okay. So you mentioned that your clients primarily come after being hospitalized. Are there other ways they come?
Absolutely. We do get a lot of self-referrals. Clients that maybe have done an intensive outpatient program and still feel they need a little bit more. We also get referrals from the IOC program in the county, which is the Intensive Outpatient Case Management Program. Mm-hmm. We get referrals from maybe Easter Seals may have some clients that they've identified that need a little bit more than individual therapy. We have clients that maybe come out of a drug treatment program and need to address their mental health issues. So they come from all different places, not just from hospitals. And I would say lately we've been getting a lot of self-referrals.
Okay.
So clients can call and they say to us, we're really struggling. I need more than individual therapy. I've heard about your program. I know somebody that's been in it. They really found it to be really helpful. So we set them up with an assessment.
And as we were talking earlier, one of the wonderful things about your program is it's very affordable.
Yes, it is. So, you know, Catholic Charities, our mission has always been to serve those who are less fortunate. So we do take insurance, especially Medicaid and Medicare. But if a client doesn't have any insurance, we will do what we call a hardship application. And I have some clients that just pay $5. It depends on what they can afford.
Right.
We don't allow the affordability to be a barrier.
Great. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. This is Tracy Ivey of Mental Health Matters, and we're back with Sue Henderson-Tepper, who is the clinical supervisor for Somerset and Hunterdon counties for the Spirit and FSO programs. What makes your program different, Sue?
So I think, you know, we talked about the IMR wrap component of the program. That's just a piece of it. But I also think that we try to cater to those individuals who haven't been successful in traditional mental health programs. I think we focus both on their wellness, both on their mental wellness and also their physical wellness. And I think we try to customize it to fit their needs. We get clients that come in who have, you know, maybe tried an outpatient intensive program where they're not comfortable in all the groups, or they have such anxiety they're struggling with it. So we may limit their group involvement until they can handle it. We may work with them more individually. We've had some clients that traditionally our program is we want you in at least 2 groups, and then we also want you to be seen individually. And we've had some clients that come in and initially meet with a clinician twice a week instead of a group until they can get comfortable with it, or until we can give them the tools to deal with the anxiety that they struggle with when in a large group. We also keep our groups small. We keep them to 6 to 8 people and no more than that, which I think is also different. And I also think that our focus is, what are the barriers that are keeping people from treatment? What is keeping them out of our offices? And how do we help them to overcome those barriers? We can't do it for all of them, but we certainly try to do that for most of them. So that's where our intensive case management comes in. We have a case manager full-time who, when she can, will provide transportation if it fits.
Quick for a second, where is it located?
So we are located in Flemington. We're over on Park Avenue, Catholic Charities building.
And over in Somerset, where is it located?
It's on Route 22 in Bridgewater.
Okay. So if someone in either of these two areas needs transportation, that's something you would arrange for if possible.
Yes. So we have two options. If you have Medicaid, we can get rides through LogistiCare. And then if you are struggling with getting into the office, again, it's limited, but we do our best to transport clients.
Okay. How many clients can you take at any given time?
Well, that's a good question because we don't have a waiting list. We are grant funded, and as part of that grant, we're not allowed to have a waiting list. So our numbers have been, I'm not sure exactly the highest number we have been at, but we have been up in the 50s. We do have clinicians, and we just make it work.
I see. So it's not the kind of thing where if you suddenly had an influx of 10 people, you would have to get a part-time staff person or something to accommodate that?
Well, and again, if we had an influx of 10 people, I think my office, we could handle it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our goal is, again, we have no waiting list. We don't turn people away if they fit the criteria. And we make sure everybody gets the services that they need.
Do you think people are surprised to know that this is out there and at this cost?
So what I find, the clients that come in to meet, that I meet with, that I see, what I hear from them is that they really like the program because they were surprised that it is set up the way it is set up. They're used to, again, the traditional programs. And they talk about how they feel respected and heard. The other thing that we do in our program is they're a part of the treatment plan. One of the first things we ask when we do an intake or an assessment is, what do you want to be different? How do you want it to look? And we use their words, and in their we do treatment plans with everyone, and in that treatment plan are their words. I want to be happier. I want to be able to work again. I want to be able to sleep at night. And we focus on what their needs are. And so, again, they are a very integral part of their treatment. They're not sat down and said, okay, you need to do X, Y, and Z. It's
right.
More of, how can we help you? What is it you feel you need? And how do we meet those goals?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to backtrack for a second and ask you how you got into this kind of work, Sue.
So I've been a licensed clinician for a lot longer than I care to say. I've been around for a while. I got into this work because I like to help people. I've always been a person who likes to help other people, and I just kind of fell into it. I'm a supervisor because I love teaching as well, and I love working with the clinicians. I'm very passionate about Catholic Charities because, again, I feel that in our climate today, if you have really good insurance, you can go out and get a private therapist. If you have the means, you can go get a psychiatrist and pay the $300 an hour to get your medication. Those that are not as fortunate don't have those luxuries. A lot of times they are faced with waiting lists. A lot of times they are faced with people not listening to them. And at Catholic Charities, we believe that everyone deserves to be respected and everyone deserves to be treated. And no one is different than us. And I think that's what sets us apart. And that's kind of why I got into this business and why I'm at Catholic Charities, because I really believe in the mission. Mm-hmm. And the mission is to help those that are less fortunate than I am and that deserve it. Everyone deserves to be happy, and everyone deserves to be treated fairly and respectfully.
Now, before the program, you mentioned something about an earlier career. Can we talk about that, or...
Sure. So many, many years ago, and kind of how I got ended up going for my master's was at a college. I was a detective in the prosecutor's office in Hunterdon County, and I worked with a lot of clients that were victims. And what bothered me about that job was that I would work with them up into the court, and then once the court case was over, I never saw them again. And I always kind of felt like there was a need to do more. And that's kind of how I ended up becoming a social worker.
Mm-hmm. And so just as you're following up with people, you see them go through. Is there a graduation or length of time that someone is generally there?
So this program, the way it is structured, it's supposed to be short-term, 3 to 6 months. We usually see the average length of stay is 9 months. The idea behind this program is to manage their symptoms or assist them in managing their symptoms. And then we do have a graduate group that meets on Fridays, and that kind of wraps up the program for them. And talks a lot about how they can manage their own symptoms, in the community. And then we like to transfer them over to a traditional outpatient program, which is the individual therapy, once a week.
So where would that be? Would that be private, or where would this transition
so
be?
We transition if, again, have the clinicians available into either Catholic Charities or other programs in the community that offer the individual therapy that take their insurance.
I see. Okay. So once again, I assume it's fairly cost effective then for somebody who comes out of the program to go through a once a week counseling with.
I would say it probably is cost effective. I think one of the barriers that we have is, you know, in our program, and at Catholic Charities, we believe that everyone has a right to services. So we will have an adjustable fee if they cannot afford the fees that are assigned. A lot of the other agencies don't necessarily do that. So sometimes it's very difficult for clients to find that traditional outpatient program that will either accept their insurance or that they can afford.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the services you provide. Do you provide psychiatric evaluations?
So we have a APN, which is a nurse practitioner on staff that does psychiatric evaluations, and then we do medication monitoring. Mm-hmm. We also have, as I said, the intensive case management. So if someone is struggling with their housing, or they may be struggling with finding resources, we can work with them to link them to different resources in the county.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the medication management, what is involved with that?
So once they have a psychiatric evaluation, which we get them in as quickly as possible, it usually is within 30 days, which is pretty unheard of in community mental health centers. Then they meet every 3 to 4 weeks with the psychiatric staff for medication monitoring appointments.
Now, do you always do the psychiatric evaluation, or do you go with whatever diagnosis someone comes in with from a hospital?
No. Anybody that gets our services gets a psychiatric evaluation if they choose to get their medication through us. So that's another piece. There are some clients who choose to get their medication from a psychiatrist that is outside of our agency, which is mm-hmm. fine. It's their choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the no waiting list. Tell me a little bit about some of the feedback that you've gotten from some of your clients.
So I love going into the waiting room and greeting clients and having conversations with them. And what I hear from them is, I think the biggest thing is, I can remember one client saying to me, someone is finally listening to me. They felt heard. They feel like they're a part of the process, not being told what they have to do, but having an active part and someone listening to what they need. Our clinicians are trained that when we do assessments, one of the first things we ask the clients is, how can we help? What is it that you need? Not this is what we think. how can we help? And I think that means a lot to our clients, especially those that have been in the mental health system for a long time and have found that they are not heard. I think that the other piece that I hear is that they feel welcomed. They feel that, you know, we try to do extra things. It's, even if it's just a smile or a ride or a, you know, stopping them in the hallway and saying to them, how are you doing today? You know, what's going on today? How can we help? I think that goes a long way for them as well. So what I basically hear, I think the most important thing is that they feel respected and they feel like they're a part of the program. They're a part of their plan. And when you have someone that feels like they're a part of the plan, they tend to want to follow it.
And the people who are anxious about being in a group, what kind of growth do you see in those people?
What I see in our program is that once they start getting, we give them some coping skills to deal with their anxiety. We also, you know, look, we've had clients that we have said to them, just stand outside the door for a little bit and see how that feels. We've had clients that go into the group and say, you don't have to stay. Just come in and feel what it feels like. We've had clients that you don't have to participate. Just come in. And what they find is because it's a smaller group, and the way that it's structured, they don't have the anxiety that they thought they would have, and it doesn't feel like some of the other groups that they've been in. So we find that once they get used to the program and they see what we're doing, they tend to get involved more. Mm-hmm.
Do they form friendships among each other?
So, yes, I believe they do. That's not really something that
That's
we talk a lot about.
It's not
yes,
right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know, we certainly don't encourage it, and we certainly don't discourage it. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But I would think part of feeling comfortable in the group would be feeling that you're not being judged.
Correct. Correct.
And that sometimes can happen in a group.
Well, and again, our mission is that to make sure that doesn't happen.
Right.
And every group, you know, the rules are stated. You have to respect each other, right? And there are no judgments here.
And I think sometimes in a group, too, there's one or two people who tend to dominate, and some of the other people are very quiet and can never get a word in. And
right.
I guess that might be a challenge for some of your clinicians.
So I think my clinicians are trained to deal with that, just like they're trained to deal with making sure there's no judgments. You know, back in the day, there used to be what they called a talking stick, right? So everybody had a chance to talk.
Mm-hmm.
What my clinicians do now is it's very clear. You know, we'll have time. Everybody has time, but please be respectful of other people and let everyone have a voice. And in a lot of the groups, we'll say things like, would you like to share? If you don't, that's okay. But it's also encouraged. And what I find, and I think the way the groups are set up, is they encourage each other. The mm-hmm. clients encourage each other. Or if someone's struggling with something particularly tough that week, all the clients will, you know, have a discussion about it with them and maybe give them some tools or some ideas that helped with them.
So I think you mentioned, maybe I have this wrong, that in the wrap section, or once the group is formed, it's closed?
So just for the wellness recovery plan, because you start at step one, and you have to take it through to step 20, whatever step it is. So it's really hard for anybody else to catch up, because the steps build on each other.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean they don't get it. What it means is I don't remember the exact weeks that the wrap goes on for. I want to say 12, but I could be wrong. Once that's closed, then only those participants are in that wrap portion. Once that wrap portion is completed, then other clients can join as well.
But I think that would probably provide a certain level of security that they get to know one another a little more and feel comfortable, that there are not always new people coming in and possibly disrupting the group or whatever.
I think that in my experience with the Spirit program, and I'm thinking it's probably the way that we have set it up, is I don't find that to be an issue. I don't find newcomers to be disruptive. Okay. In the groups, I find and I find that everyone is very welcoming.
Right.
And inclusion. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of inclusion in what we do. And I think that that says a lot to the clinicians and how they run the groups.
And it should help people who have anxiety about being in a group.
Right.
Just making them feel more comfortable. What about someone who's sent by after getting out of a hospital and they're kind of resistant to the program? How do you deal with someone like that?
So we do see that. And again, I think explaining to them that the program is voluntary. Mm-hmm. They choose to be here. They choose not to be here. Goes a long way because, again, it's giving them back the control. We're not telling them what they have to do. We are saying, this is what we can provide for you. We would like to help, but it's your choice.
Okay. And while we're still on the resistant area here, what about someone who's resistant to taking their medication? How deep is your level of involvement in medication management?
So that's a very difficult question, and it's something that I struggle with a lot because, again, everyone has the right to choose. I think the bigger question is, how does it affect their symptoms, or how do their symptoms affect what's happening? So if I have a client who is refusing medication, but I can't do anything in terms of treatment, because maybe they're dealing with a chemical imbalance, then how am I being helpful?
Mm-hmm.
And how are they gaining anything from the program? And I think that's really the question. It's not so much as to whether or not they're taking their medication. It's more about how can the program help them and what can they learn from the program or what can they get out of it. And if they're not getting anything out of it, then how is it helping?
Mm-hmm. Is the Spirit program a national program?
I believe there's something in this model similar in other areas. I know that there is this program in other counties in the state.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I wanted to ask, do you have fundraisers at all? Is money an issue, or are you primarily doing well with grants and so forth?
No, we're fine. We mm-hmm. don't have to do any fundraising.
Okay.
The only time that we look for donations is we just did Christmas gifts. So we had asked for donations for our clients for some, you know, gift cards so that we could make sure that everybody had got something at Christmas or the holidays. Thanksgiving, I think we looked for some turkeys and some Thanksgiving food. We did have, sometimes if a client is in need of something, we might put it out there to the parishes to see if anybody can assist.
Okay.
But in terms of running the program, we're fully funded.
So when you say in need of something, I know you mentioned earlier something about people wanting to get back to work. How successful has your program been in helping people just overcome that obstacle to employment?
So we've had many clients that have been able to go back and reduce their symptoms enough that they're able to work. We've had some that just volunteer. We have some that work part-time.
Mm-hmm.
It really is not dependent on us. It's really dependent on the client and what they're capable of and what they want.
Mm-hmm. And so I also, would you say that your clientele run the gamut of economic circumstances? I mean, would you have had attorneys and professional people in there as well as people in other kinds of jobs?
So I believe that, yes, to answer your question very simply, that we, because again, we don't turn anyone away.
Okay.
And if there is a need for our services, we certainly would offer them. Have I seen an attorney? No.
Okay.
But I also think, too, that when you're in a higher socioeconomic bracket, you are able to afford a different type of treatment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we mentioned some of your services. Is there anything important that we've left out or that you wanted to talk a little bit more about?
So I think that some of the things that we have talked about in the past, but also that I think the goals in the SPIRIT program is that we try very hard as staff members to think outside the box. We know that there have been a lot of barriers to our clients getting help, and we want to take a look at what those barriers are and how we can reduce them. I think we also see people who have, we want to call chronic mental health issues, who tend to kind of rotate or kind of revolve in and out of the system. And, you know, how do we stop that? How do we help them to manage their symptoms so they're not feeling like they can get stable and then they kind of decompensate again? I think that the SPIRIT program, I believe where we're headed and what we want to try to do is really follow that wellness model. So it's not only about their mental health, but it's also about their physical health. I would like to see, you know, more programs geared towards their overall wellness. I'd like to see us, we're starting to do it, working with primary care physicians, you know, to focus on making sure that they're getting their checkups that they need, they're getting their vaccinations. We're trying to work with our clients to stay connected with primary care doctors or dentists or other medical professionals that will help them maintain their stability. You know, I want to start looking at maybe running groups on healthy eating, maybe running groups on how to cook and how to shop with, you know, wellness in mind. We are always looking for ways to keep our clients motivated for treatment and to keep them connected, and I think that's the big piece.
Right. Well, you talk about life skills, so wouldn't some of those things be in under your life skills umbrella, like healthy eating?
Okay. Well, they are and they aren't. I'd like to do a little bit more. More of our life skills are about how to communicate with others, how to have healthy relationships.
Okay.
And we are expanding it. We had this woman come in, and her name escapes me right now, but it was awesome. She did laughing yoga. The clients loved it. We had ShopRite come in and talk about some of the healthy eating. We had somebody from the library come in and, you know, talk about having a library card and what the programs are that they can offer at the library. I'd love to try to get them connected with some of the services at the YMCA because, again, I think that there's a lot that the community has to offer. And I think by giving them more opportunities to do more things other than just focus on their mental health, mm-hmm. Or their symptoms, rather, helps them to feel better.
Right. That's really interesting. Now, is that new, having these guest speakers, or has that been in the program all along?
We started it this year.
Okay.
We did what we called a wellness week, and it was actually kind of a lot of fun. We did, as I said, we had the laughing yoga, which was awesome. And then we did have some nutrition. We would like to partner in the future. We'd like to partner maybe with some local medical professionals to have them come in and talk about wellness checkups and talk about the things that are important for their physical health. So we want to expand it.
Mm-hmm. Well, just in general, what are your needs as far as community help and volunteerism? Do you have any volunteers?
So we don't, because of confidentiality, we don't necessarily use volunteers. But it is finding places in the community where maybe our clients can volunteer. It's finding other programs or other agencies in the community that, you know, maybe can partner with us to offer more services for our clients. It's working with other community agencies in the community to give our clients that all-encompassing, well-rounded, support.
Right. Okay. Now, what's your age range?
So we take anybody over the age of 18.
Right.
And we've had 18-year-olds, and we've had people in their 90s. We've had people in their 80s. We run the gamut.
Wow. That's really interesting. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Good afternoon. This is Mental Health Matters. This is Tracy Ivey with Sue Henderson-Tepper, who is the clinical supervisor for Somerset and Hunterdon Counties for the Spirit and FSO programs through Catholic Charities. Sue, before the break, we were talking about various coping skills. Do you want to get into something? You mentioned some holistic coping skills that you're looking to expand on, I guess.
Well, I think that part of our program and our treatment goals are that, you know, medication is important, but it's not the only tool in our toolbox. You know, symptoms, we see a lot of people with anxiety, and it's really rampant today, actually. I think a lot of our population suffers from anxiety. So we do a lot of work around that with coping skills. We actually made coping boxes in one of our during our wellness week, and coping boxes where each client got a box and they decorated it, and then we put things in there like a fidget spinner, so that while they're sitting somewhere and they can't sit still, they can do the fidget. Squishy balls, stress relieving balls, Play-Doh, a notepad and a pencil. I think there was a Slinky in it.
So everyone kind of chose what they wanted,
right,
or brought what they wanted.
Well, we
provide.
Yeah, no, we provided it,
okay,
and they could choose what they put in it. We also made what we call calming jars, which was actually developed for children who were having temper tantrums, or autistic children,
mm-hmm,
that were struggling with calming down. And it basically is, you take a clear jar and you put water and glue in the jar with glitter and maybe some beads, and you shake it, and you sit and breathe as you watch the glitter go to the bottom of the jar, and it's actually called the calming jar. And the clients really liked that. They enjoyed that activity.
Sounds like a snow globe.
Yeah, it is. It's actually just like a snow globe, but it's be amazed at how calming it is just to sit and
right,
watch it. And it's learning about how your anxiety affects your brain and your ability to think and react. There's a lot of research that shows that when you get in that fight or flight or you get very stressed out, that you know, the different parts of your brain disconnect and you lose the ability to think. Mm-hmm. You lose the ability to react. So it's helping clients to understand what's going on before mm-hmm. the brain disconnects, so to speak.
Visual.
Right? Yeah. And then to use the calming skills, which is just, you know, taking a couple deep breaths, mm-hmm. Yawning, anything to kind of focus your brain on something else.
Let's go back to the boxes for a moment. Was that something that was done where people put in slinkies and various coping tools? Was that something that was done in one day or over the course of a week?
No, actually, we did it in one group. So we did it in the morning. It could be, you know, again, it could be something that you extend, but we did it as part of one of the groups during the week of the Wellness Week.
So then they could take home what was
yep.
in their box.
So they took the box home, oh. and that was their coping.
Lovely.
For them to use when they mm-hmm. Needed something and they weren't in group. I have a clinician, and I'd like to take credit for it, but she's put it together, and I mm-hmm. really love it. In our groups, what we've started to incorporate in all the groups, and she starts each group with some type of coping skill or a grounding technique. You know, feel your feet on the floor, feel yourself connected to the chair. You know, you're present, you're in the room. Maybe doing some deep breathing, maybe thinking about, you know, as you're feeling yourself get stressed out, taking some deep breaths and thinking about sitting on a beach somewhere, and using all your senses to be there. So we've started to incorporate in the beginning of the group doing a coping skill, and then at the end of the group doing another coping skill. So it's repetition. It's getting clients used to doing it.
Right.
So when they're maybe standing at the grocery store and the line is, you know, 20 people long and they're feeling a lot of frustration come out, that they could take a few minutes and kind of feel the floor or do some breathing. Or think about laying on a beach rather than sitting in the grocery store. Things like that.
Okay. Now, one thing you mentioned to me was that you're seeing a lot of people with trauma or PTSD. Tell me a little more about that.
So we're seeing, and I think this is not just our program, but across all mental health, is we see a lot of trauma. When we meet with clients and we do assessments or intakes, you know, some of the questions we ask, you know, have you ever had anything bad happen in your life? You don't really like to use the word trauma,
right.
but we talk a lot about bad things that have happened, and we find that a majority of them have. I don't have the exact numbers, but I would say over 90% of our clients have had some type of trauma, whether it's domestic violence, whether it's childhood abuse. You know, it runs the gamut, and it has affected them in some way.
Has it possibly not been addressed well enough?
Well, I could get on my soapbox and say that
that's
it's
fine.
Never been addressed well enough. I think that that's one thing that's really lacking in our mental health today, is that we really, you know, we're starting to, but we really don't pay attention to a lot of how trauma has affected people and how it affects their symptoms. We tend to just kind of look at what the symptoms are, but not where they're coming from. And I think we need to do that more. We need to start looking at, you know, where it originates from.
And the trauma is not necessarily part of a diagnosis. It's
no.
something extra.
Yes, that's correct. It's not part of a diagnosis. And I think, you know, one of the other things that we have incorporated in the SPIRIT program, and a lot of other agencies are as well, is what we call a trauma-informed care or a nurtured heart. But I use the model of trauma-informed care, and it's understanding. It's the staff understanding that the behaviors that we're seeing from our clients are not necessarily because they are resistant or that they can't, they don't want to be a part of it. It's coming because the behaviors that we're seeing are coping mechanisms, or it's a way to keep them safe because they've had so much trauma. I always use this example of, I had been at a meeting a couple of years ago in a different county with a client who had mental health issues. She also had a lot of trauma and was in a meeting to talk about what she was going to do in order for her to be a better parent, in order for her to work with the agency that was involved with her at the time. And she walked into a meeting of five professionals and herself. And she sat down, and she put her hood on her sweatshirt over her head. And all the professionals were talking around her. And I finally stopped them and I said, I looked at the client and I said, what did they just say? And she said, I don't know. I said, where are you? She said, I don't know. I said, what's happening today? I don't know. And I looked at the person who was running the meeting and I said, your client's not here. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, she may be sitting in the room, but she's left the building because this is not safe for her. And her way to deal with something that's not safe is to disappear. So it's being aware of clients that have symptoms. Where's it coming from? Are they really being resistant, or do they not have the capacity to be able to sit in that room because it's just too hard? It's what it's the coping skill they've always used all their life. And it's understanding that and saying to them, I know this is really hard, but I just kind of need you to be present for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So I assume after you made that comment, the tenor of the meeting changed a little bit.
I would say no, but that's okay.
Let's jump over. We only have a few minutes left here. Let's give a phone number or a website or email. How can people get in touch with you if they want to know more about the program?
So they can contact, in Flemington, they can contact us at the Catholic Charities office, which is 908-782-7905, and they can ask to speak with someone in the Spirit program. We're funded, the way our grant works, is that we have to get back to either the referring agency or the self-referral in a pretty short time frame, so usually within a day. And then we get clients scheduled in for intakes within 24 to 72 hours based on their availability. So, again, as I said, there's no waiting list. People can call, and they'll talk to our case manager who does a referral form over the phone with them. We check their insurance, and then we set them up with an intake with a clinician. And the purpose, again, of these steps is the program a good fit for the client? Because if it's not, then how are we helping them? So we want to make sure that the services that we offer is what the client needs.
Exactly. We're going to repeat that phone number.
It's 908-782-7905.
Okay. Now, should they go to a website, or is there a website, do you think, where they wanted to get more information about the Spirit program?
So they can go to Catholic Charities, and the website is CatholicCharities.com or CCDOM.
You have a shorter one?
No, I think it's just Catholic Charities. I apologize. I think it's Catholic Charities, Diocese of Metuchen. But if they just type in Catholic Charities, Diocese of Metuchen,
all of that. Okay.
Flemington, I'm sure they can find
us. Okay, exactly. Okay. So we have another minute or two, I'd say, if there's anything else you'd like to add that we haven't talked about, or summarize your thoughts about this wonderful program. I really appreciate your being here and telling us about it, because I think it could help a lot of people.
Well, Tracy, thank you very much, and I appreciate that you've invited me here today. I think, again, I think the message that I'd like to get across is that we want to help, and we believe that everybody has the right to get the best help that is out there for them. There should not be any barriers to getting mental health treatment.
Right, and it's obvious how much you really care. Thank you for being on, and once again, that number to reach Catholic Charities is 908-782-7905. This is Tracy Ivey of Mental Health Matters, and we will see you next week.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care. At a moment's notice, Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Harvey Weinstein will face new criminal charges in Los Angeles. Multiple women have accused Weinstein of sexual assault. The news comes as jury selection begins in New York for other sexual assault allegations against Weinstein. He has denied all wrongdoing. Democrats are angry that congressional leaders were not briefed before the U.S. airstrike that killed a top Iranian military leader in Iraq. Lawmakers are expected to get a classified briefing on the incident as early as Wednesday, but according to Kellyanne Conway, counselor to the president acted within his rights as a commander-in-chief.
The president knows that he was on solid ground constitutionally, legally, strategically to have taken out one of the world's best known, most bloodthirsty and brutal terrorists.
Conway speaking there on Fox News, she also says the top Iranian general has killed thousands of Americans. This is USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
Former Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee is running for president for a second time. This time he'll be running as a Libertarian. Chafee ran as a Democrat in 2016. A Chicago couple is suing the stars of the hit HGTV show Windy City Rehab for consumer fraud. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the story.
James and Anna Morrissey filing a lawsuit accusing the show of selling them a home with defective and shoddy work. It names hosts Allison Gramenos and Donovan Eckhart as defendants and demands reversal of the sale and the return of $80,000 they spent on upgrades and landscaping. It's not the first time the show's made news for the wrong reasons. In July, developers behind it were accused of unsafe work conditions and code violations. Alderman Brian Hopkins says,
there was just a certain amount of arrogance involved, like we're a TV show, we don't have to follow the rules.
There's been no comment on this latest suit from Gramenos, Eckhart, or HGTV.
And you're listening to USA Radio News. USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell, the creator of MyPillow, is a sleep genius. He creates things to make your night's sleep better. He created the new Giza Dreams bed sheets. He started by using the world's best cotton grown in the Mediterranean, and it's ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. Now, if you go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA when you click on the Giza Dream Sheet Special, you get 30% off and free shipping. 30% off and free shipping when you go to MyPillow.com.
You might say some passengers aboard a British Airways plane experienced a tale of three cities, as USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes explains.
The Monday flight seemed to go perfectly well until passengers realized their jet had landed in both the wrong city and the wrong nation. The British Airways flight from London City Airport was supposed to be heading to Dusseldorf, Germany. It ended up in Edinburgh, the capital of Scotland. The airline says the problem began when an incorrect flight plan was filed by WDL Aviation, which operated the flight on behalf of British Airways. The pilot followed the flight plan for Edinburgh, and the air traffic control officials were following the same plan and saw nothing amiss. The company says it was trying to determine the cause of the obviously unfortunate mix-up. The flight was refueled and set off again. This time it went to Dusseldorf. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
So far, no one has gotten sick, but people are throwing away their avocados. USA Radio Network's Wendy King explains why.
An avocado recall after possible listeria contamination. Henry Avocado, a Southern California grower and distributor, says the recall involves conventional and organic avocados grown and packed in California.